They continued on their way for another 5 minutes or so, while the shops got fewer and fewer, and run-down warehouses and overcrowded tenements got more and more numerous. And then, finally, Stenair turned up one last walkway to a heavy wooden door set into a distinctly battered and modest-looking wall. Like every major Safeholdian city, Tellisburg was liberally supplied with churches and cathedrals. Monasteries and convents were also fairly common, although most of those tended to be located outside urban areas where they could help to support themselves by farming. But this particular monastery didn't fit that description. It looked as if it had probably been here since Tellisburg's founding, and warehouses had squeezed so tightly against it on either side that it couldn't possibly have space for anything more than a very modest kitchen garden. Stenair knocked, and then he and Merlin waited patiently until the slide on the small window in the stout wooden door opened and a monk looked out. To Merlin's surprise, the monk's brown habit bore the white horse of the Order of Truscott, not the oil lamp of the Order of Bedard. Somehow, Merlin had had the impression that the monastery for which they were bound belonged to Stenair's order. The door warden's eyes lit with obvious recognition as he saw Stenair, and the sturdy, scarred portal quickly opened. Merlin had expected it to squeak loudly, given the monastery wall's general down-at-the-heels appearance, but instead it moved with the silence of well-oiled and well-maintained hinges.
"Welcome to the Monastery of Saint Gernot, Sejin Merlin," Stenair said as they passed through the opening and the door closed behind them.
There was a curious note in the archbishop's voice, as if somehow the words meant more than they'd said. Merlin's internal antennae twitched, but he said nothing, only nodded and followed Stenair and the door warden across the monastery's courtyard. The space inside the outer wall turned out to be larger than Merlin would have estimated from the outside. It was considerably deeper, and it wasn't the cobbled square or packed dirt courtyard he would have expected from the general dilapidation of the surrounding neighborhood. Instead, he found himself surrounded by greenery, ancient lichen-covered walls, and the liquid waterfall music magic of ornamental fish ponds. Wyverns and terrestrial songbirds perched in the branches of dwarf fruit trees, which appeared to be almost as ancient as the monastery itself, and their soft whistles and chirps made a soothing contrast to the city noises outside the wall. Stenair and he followed their guide into the chapter house and down a series of whitewashed corridors. The brick floors had been worn smooth and gullied by centuries of passing feet, and the walls were a combination of stone and brick, with the transition between building materials indicating where later additions joined the original structure. They were also quite thick, and it was cool and quiet inside them. Their guide paused at last outside another door. He glanced over his shoulder at Stenair, then knocked once, gently.
"Enter,"
a voice called from the other side, and the monk opened the door and stood aside.
"Thank you, brother," Stenair murmured, then stepped past him with a slight follow-me head twitch at Merlin.
They found themselves in what was obviously an office, although at first glance one might have been forgiven for thinking it was a library instead, or possibly an outsized storage closet. The slightly musty smell of paper and ink filled the air. Bookshelves filled what would otherwise have been a high-ceilinged, airy chamber, almost claustrophobically full, and the desk under its single skylight sat in a shelf-surrounded space, like a clearing hacked out of a towering rainforest canopy that looked much too small for it and the two chairs sitting in front of it. Judging from the heap of books and papers stacked on the floor, Merlin suspected that the chairs normally served as convenient holding spots for reference works and documents. Somehow he didn't think they just happened to have been cleared of their burdens before he and the archbishop arrived so unexpectedly.
Sajin Merlin, Stainer said, allow me to introduce Father Jean Birkett, the Abbot of St. Genoa's.
Father, Merlin responded with a slight bow. Birkett was an elderly man, obviously at least several years older than Stainer, who wasn't precisely an infant himself. In his youth, he'd probably been somewhere between Stainer's height and Merlin's, which would have made him a veritable giant for Karis, although advancing years and a curving spine had changed that, and he looked almost painfully frail. He wore the green cassock of an overpriest rather than the brown habit the door warden had worn, and, Merlin noted with slightly narrowed eyes, his cassock carried the quill pen of Chihiro rather than the horse of Truscott or the lamp of Bedard.
Sajin, the abbot replied.
His voice sounded as if it had once been far more robust, even as he had, but his eyes were clear and sharp. They were also at least as intense as Merlin's own, and there was a curiously eager light in their brown depths. He gestured at the chairs in front of his desk.
Please be seated, both of you, he invited.